This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by the Todd Wright Tour Championship, just 2 weeks away, April 28th, that's Saturday, at Buckhorn Springs Golf and Country Club, private course, first time the Todd Wright Tour is heading to Buckhorn Springs, and I have extremely limited availability. As a matter of fact, by the time we cut our next podcast, I doubt I'll have anything to offer you. If you have played previously in one of my golf tournaments anywhere across Tampa Bay, and you haven't signed up yet for this one, which I am billing my first major championship, come on out and join us. I do have room for individuals, twosomes, and one more full foursome. JoeBucksFan.com/golf, JoeBucksFan.com/golf. And if you are new, I don't know what you're waiting for. We've been sold out the last, seven events now, and people keep coming back to play in my events. I'd love to have some more new people in this first one at a golf course. You can't simply go online or pick up the phone and book your own tee time. I am a way you can play Buckhorn Springs. Again, JoeBucksFan.com/golf. I have a foursome to sell. I have a twosome to sell. And I have an individual spot to sell. And that's it. So get on it while it's still available. And no need to email me, or even if those of you have my number. Hey, is the golf tournament still available? If you can go online and put what you want in your cart, you can buy it. It's just like going to the store. If you see something on the shelves, you can buy it. Otherwise, it's not available. That's real simple. So don't bother asking me. Go to JoeBucksFan.com/golf. Click on what you want, an individual tee time, a twosome, or a foursome. Put it in your cart, pay for it, and it's yours. If you can't do that, then you're too late. And we are that close to being completely sold out for the Todd Wright Tour Championship. All right, we record this podcast on Friday evening. I was traveling much of this week on my annual golf trip to the fantastic Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail throughout the state of Alabama. This might be the finest collection of public golf courses anywhere that are all owned and operated by the same group of people. And I've now played at four different properties over the last couple years, and the experience just keeps getting better. So we'll talk about that more on a future podcast. But the reason why I was still in Alabama earlier today, when I would normally get you a Friday podcast. So this basically, in essence, is a Saturday podcast, and it allows us to talk about the most recent NFL breaking news involving someone that has been in the fantasy conversation for a number of years. The 8-year career with the Dallas Cowboys for Dez Bryant came to an end on Friday with the Cowboys announcing they were cutting Bryant. Bryant representing a huge salary for the Cowboys, around $12.5 million. Cowboys, prior to cutting Bryant, had just over $1 million under the salary cap. And Bryant unwilling to take a pay cut. Teams apparently unwilling to trade for Dez Bryant or give the Cowboys any sort of compensation they felt was worthwhile, or teams knowing that the Cowboys really had nowhere to go, so it had no leverage. So let's wait it out, and if Dez hits free agency, we'll go after him. Various teams already being talked about as possible destinations for Dez Bryant, but let's talk about Dez specifically and why it came to an end with the Cowboys, other than not playing to the financial level of his contract. And amazing to me that it's 8 years with Dez with the Cowboys. And yeah, you go back to the year where it was Dez and DeMarco and Romo. And that year, of course, ended with the Cowboy loss in Lambeau Field on a play that has been much talked about as it relates to the change in the catch rule. While the Calvin Johnson catch on the opening Sunday of the NFL regular season that should have beaten the Bears was the first one that was painfully, egregiously wrong that allowed for the rule to overturn that type of catch. That was an opening day catch. Dez's was a playoff catch, and then we had the Jesse James catch last year for the Steelers in what would have been a win in the regular season against the New England Patriots. So those three really stand out more than any other in the era of the what the hell is a catch. And now the rule has been adjusted, and we'll ultimately see where we go now with this rule. So Dez Bryant probably best known for that, but the production in recent years has not been there, despite still being one of the most targeted wide receivers in the National Football League, at least in the top 30. There were those games where Dez simply wasn't targeted as much, especially this last season, where things got away from the Cowboys. In particular, once Ezekiel Elliott did serve the six-game suspension, the Cowboys were actually rolling going into that point where Ezekiel Elliott was fighting the suspension, and then suddenly, I guess, things were presented to him to the point where it's like, you're not going to win this, might as well just serve the suspension. And the Cowboys struggled immediately without Elliott for the first, 2 to 3 games of that suspension. But it was another down year for Dez Bryant. There are some who simply think that Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant never established the connection that Dez Bryant had with Dak's predecessor in Tony Romo. I can just tell you from watching as many Cowboy games as anyone that I think it was a case, and Romo and Prescott are obviously different style quarterbacks. I think it was a case where Romo just trusted Dez almost pre-snap. There were just certain plays that were called for Dez Bryant or Romo audibled based on the defense, based on the situation, and Romo and the Cowboys just felt this is a play Dez can make. And often it was a big-time play. In the transition from Romo to Prescott, remember one of the things that Prescott got a lot of attention for in that winning 2016 where the Cowboys were the number one seed, only to be beat by a very hot Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the best playoff game of that postseason, not including the comeback in the Super Bowl. I always say there's the postseason and then there's the Super Bowl. The Packers 34-31 victory at AT&T Stadium was in that season. Remember, Prescott went a long time without throwing a pick. I believe his total picks thrown in that season were around 4. So perhaps it was a case of where, look, Prescott hadn't worked extensively to that point with Dez Bryant the way Tony Romo had worked with Dez Bryant. And perhaps Prescott just didn't feel as comfortable making some of the throws in the general area of Bryant that Romo felt comfortable making before. And I don't know that that's anyone's fault. Romo obviously had a lot more working knowledge. Prescott clearly was avoiding the big turnover. Didn't feel as though, okay, this is a pre-snap. You know what? I'm just going to take the quick three-step drop and I'm putting this ball up for grabs because I know Dez can go get it? Or is it a case where Dez can't go get those balls anymore because he is, what, 1 year away from 30 years old? So there are a lot of different factors here as it relates to Dez Bryant's production and why the Dallas Cowboys, who now look like one of the most deficient, even though they, what, Deontay Thompson and Allen Hurns, doesn't do much for me. Not even a Bryce Butler return. Doesn't look like the Cowboys have much at the wide receiver position as we currently speak. And even dumping Dez only puts them roughly about $9 million under the cap. It certainly looks like the Cowboys are in need of a draft impact wide receiver, just like Dez was going back now 8 years. Those of you fantasy-wise, as it relates to Dez Bryant, you've been disappointed the last couple years in Dez Bryant. So now you're wondering, okay, so what are we doing with Dez Bryant? Am I someone? I have a feeling that it depends on where he lands, and it probably depends on if you owned him before. If you owned him in these last couple of years, you're probably not going to want to deal with him unless he lands somewhere with a big-time quarterback, a veteran quarterback, who might make some of those throws if Dez can go up and get those balls and win those 50-50 balls or those jump ball situations like he did with Tony Romo. The first team that came to mind for me was the Rams, just because, you know, for the last month, the Rams have become kind of the Red Sox and Yankees of NFL free agency. They seem to be getting every big name, either via trade or free agency. So that was one I thought of, because remember, we were told that just because the Rams acquired Brandon Cooks did not preclude them from still having interest in making the deal for Odell Beckham Jr. That has not happened, but if the Rams are saying that about Cooks and Beckham, then why wouldn't the Rams have interest in Dez Bryant? It sort of fits the profile of everything else that has been happening with the LA Rams and McVay being an offensive-minded head coach. They do have a lot of options now at wide receiver, but if they gave us the impression they still had room for Beckham, that means they have room for Dez Bryant. saw a report online earlier tonight. I believe it was Bleacher Report. It was either Bleacher Report or SB Nation. I apologize. So I'll mention both, that talked about six possible destinations, because as Bryant was leaving the Cowboy facility today, he did say, see you twice this year. So that suggests that Bryant is at least trying to give us the impression that he'll stay in the NFC East. The Eagles don't seem to have room for Dez Bryant. Signed Alshon Jeffrey last year, re-upped Alshon Jeffrey before the season was even over, and brought in Mike Wallace this offseason. The Washington Redskins have room. They have the cap room to do something. Look, Dez isn't going to be paid the way he wants, this will be a split-the-difference type deal, or Dez could do a deal like Alshon Jeffrey did with the Eagles. Sign a one-year deal, and basically, if he plays well, it benefits both sides, and the Eagles then took the next step and went ahead and extended Jeffrey before the season, before they even got to the postseason, saying, yep, we're in, we're good, you're a part of this, let's take care of this right now. So that worked out very well. Obviously, with the Eagles winning a Super Bowl, Jeffrey getting paid, and on we go from there. So Dez could do something like that. The Redskins do have the ability. You know, they brought in Paul Richardson from Seattle, but I mean, those of you like me play fantasy. Paul Richardson's kind of one of those bargain fantasy plays at best. You know, we don't have a lot to go on. That Paul Richardson is suddenly going to be a legit wide receiver two type fantasy player, let alone a quality wide receiver two for the Redskins, who last year had a very disappointing results from virtually everybody on the offensive side of the ball, except Kirk Cousins, who's now the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. So the Redskins could be in play. And this particular story also took into account Brian's comments and said, well, what about the Giants? And it would seem odd that the Giants would go out and bring Bryant in and keep Odell Beckham Jr. If they're going to move Odell Beckham Jr., then maybe there is room there for Dez Bryant. But that just, it sort of seems far-fetched to me. So if he's going to stay in the division, it almost makes some sense that it would be with the Washington Redskins. This other report, again, from either SB Nation or Bleacher Report, talked about Sean Payton's interest, and I would buy into that a little bit. That Sean Payton, very offensive-minded, would love to have. He's, you know, Michael Thomas going into year three. Still has the speed downfield in Ted Ginn, but Ginn gets, what, 4 or 5 targets a game. He made the most of them last year. We all know that fantasy-wise. But someone like Dez Bryant, especially, let's face it, Peyton and Breeze are running out of time. And we felt this way for a few years now, but here they still are. You know, they won a playoff game last year over Carolina, and then were in a position to win a wild playoff game against the Vikings before the Case Keenum Stephon Diggs play happened. Otherwise, the Saints are in the NFC Championship game. This will be 9 years since the Saints defeated Peyton Manning and the Colts in the Super Bowl. So apparently the cap room and the interest is there from the New Orleans Saints to potentially put Dez Bryant in that situation. And I always think about, well, how would Bill Belichick look at something like this? Because throughout the Patriots run, you know, Bill Belichick, mostly for the good, sometimes not so good, has taken chances on big name type guys who have come in and not necessarily broken the bank. And more often than not, it works. And we just talked about Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was clearly the number one wide receiver last year for the New England Patriots, and he was traded off for the Rams' first-round draft pick. So New England presumably has room for a new number one receiver. And you know, we remember what bringing in Randy Moss meant to the New England Patriots, and I'm not comparing Moss directly to Dez Bryant, but you can see where I'm going with this, especially with the Cooks deal, sending him to the Rams, and Tom Brady would probably sign off on something like this. And Dez would be in a position to win a Super Bowl, which would probably excite him, considering where the Cowboys were just 4 seasons ago, considered to be a Super Bowl contender, and then out in the division round both years at the hands of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. From a fantasy standpoint, we wait. We wait and see where Dez goes. It's just very unlikely that there's going to be a lot of guaranteed money in Dez's next free agent deal. So you would expect, unless he's just trying to get back at the Cowboys and go to the Redskins and play with Alex Smith, that Dez would prefer to play with a ready-made playoff team like a, say, New Orleans Saints or an LA Rams, where he could chase that elusive championship. From a fantasy standpoint, I obviously don't think at this point, before we know where he's headed, Dez Bryant is obviously dropped on draft boards based on his performance last year, and we'll reevaluate where he is going forward when we start to look ahead to season-long drafts based on where he signs and what type of quarterback will be throwing him the ball and what his role will be in that particular offense. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I appreciate you listening, and remember, you can always email me any football question at all to toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. I will respond via email, and I will likely respond in the next podcast as well. And remember, during the duration of the Tampa Bay Lightning's run in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm also doing the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Good response early on. That is up and running as well. And you can have access to that for as long as the Lightning are alive in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll talk to you on that podcast, or we'll talk to you next time right here on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening.